Hey, Bob, good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, thank you. You?
I'm very good. First of all, I find your job, when this came up, a chance to interview you, I found this job very fascinating because I've heard so much about you kind of guys. So you're the warm-up guy, and for those who don't know what a warm-up guy does, quickly tell us what you do.
I am the guy, when you go to a TV show, nobody will talk to you except me. They all have their jobs to do. The cameraman does his camera. The stage manager manages the stage. The producers produce. They all have their jobs. I warm up the studio audience, keep the balls in the air, get them ready for the next scene, keep them excited, keep them ready to laugh. That's my job.
And I find this fascinating because you and I are pretty much cut from the same cloth. I'm on my side job, quote unquote. I am the arena announcer at a minor league hockey game in Evansville, so it's my job basically to do the exact same thing you do and keep the crowd entertained when there's pucks not flying all around. So TV shows you have done this for is amazing. All the years you've done this, do you just go back and look and say, wow, I actually did all that?
I read the book last night. I was amazed at what I've done. Yeah, I made an effort, and I just maximized what I did to the nth degree. There were times I was working 5 to 7 days a week, and two of those days were weekends where you do 4 shows a day. So, yeah, I just booked and booked and booked. And not out of any monetary situation. I just loved doing it. It was a challenge. You go, you got 350 people in the audience. What are you going to do with them? You could get them ready for the show. You have to make sure they're going to laugh. You're going to make sure they're not sleeping. And you're just juggling those balls all the time.
And sometimes it really is a hard job, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Friends took 8 hours to tape.
Wow.
So there are people that show up and thinking they're going to be there a half hour because they've seen the show on TV. Instead, 6 hours in, they're going, hey, Bob. I go, what? Can we go? You can't. We've locked the doors. we'll bring you some Snickers or something, but the doors are locked. Is there anybody you want to call? Can we tell your relatives where you are? Then I would do some phone bits where I would call the relatives and say, we have your son. He's fine. Don't be worried. We're going to feed him, but he's going to be here for a while. Is he in jail? In a way, yeah. But we have entertainment for him. So, it became a situation, it was almost a Stockholm situation where they hated me and then they loved me and then I became their captor.
Well, I can't wait to read this book, The Warm-Up Guy, because you've got so many interesting stories and so many shows you've been a part of. And I had heard a lot over the years about the problems with Penny Marshall and Cindy Williams on Laverne and Shirley. And from what I understand, you pretty well back it up that those two really didn't get along toward the end, did they?
No. Toward the beginning.
Oh, toward the beginning.
At the beginning, because Cindy was thrown into the Marshall family. Gary Marshall created the show. His sister Penny was the co-star. Their other sister, Ronnie, was the casting agent. And their father, Tony, was the executive producer. So, oh my God, what are you going to do? And until she found out how fair these people were, they treated her like another daughter. And she had just as many lines. And sometimes if she could do something better, they would give it to her. She realized, oh, things are pretty good. Then they became a united front against the writers. So we took the brunt of that. But Cindy and Penny turned out to be good friends. But at the beginning, not so much. Opposed to Craig T. Nelson and Jerry Van Dyke. What do you mean, Jerry T.? That's right. They didn't get along. Yeah.
Are you excited about Fuller House coming to TV? Because you were on the set for the first 3 years of Full House. So right. Now you get to see all these kids as adults.
Yeah, and I am, because one of my best friends, Jeff Franklin, created it, and this gives him another thing to do in life to support his mansion with 18 bathrooms. God forbid one of the bathrooms should go uncleaned. And they're all good guys. I mean, Stamos and Coulier, Saget, and the girls, they were terrific. I mean, I saw Michelle grow up. She was an infant. And what usually happens in shows like that is they replace them with older actors, a la Modern Family, where Lily was a baby, and then all of a sudden she's two. It's a different actress. With Michelle, the twins, they grew up on the set. They went from 0 to 8 years old as those girls.
When you spoke of bathrooms, and while we're speaking of Full House, I've got to know this cast member who was daily stricken with flatulence.
Dave, can I help you? Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. It's no secret, but the funny thing is, if you look at old Full Houses, you'll see at some point the cast gingerly move away from Dave. You know, subtly, you're going, oh, okay. And he made no bones about it. It was a body function.
Well, you were on the Newhart scene, and I'm a big fan of Bosom Buddies, and Peter Scolari was awesome in that, as well as Newhart. Peter Scolari, good guy?
Love Peter. Hate juggling. Love Peter. I hate many mimes. They could be good people. They could do good work.
And real quickly, Andy Kaufman, you were on the set of Taxi for a number of years. Any bizarre stories you can tell us of Andy that we may not have heard after his passing?
Yeah, he had this alter ego called Tony Clifton.
Right.
And it was a totally different character. It wasn't in the gibberish language that Latka spoke. But it was this sleazy nightclub performer. He wore a prosthetic stomach that made him fatter.
Right.
And he talked like this, and and he would come on the lot and say, "Oh, hello, Mr. Kaufman. What do you mean, Kaufman? I'm Tony Clifton." They go, "Well, you have to be Andy Kaufman to come on the stage." "Well, I don't care." And it'd be really obnoxious. "I'm Tony Clifton. I told you 100 times. I'm Tony Clifton." And they wouldn't let him on the stage. They had a stand-in to go over Lotka's lines, because sometimes he wouldn't show up for rehearsal.
Right.
And they would have Mike Binder, who is now a huge director and actor, and he would do the lines and hit the marks and go over to Andy's house at night and show him where to stand. And Andy was a pro. I mean, he was good. And he would learn the lines, and they didn't miss a beat with him.
I greatly appreciate the 8 minutes with you, and I'm so ready to read this book, because I want to read all the rest of the dirt you have to dish on TV, and I admire the work that you've done over the years, sir.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Bob.
You betcha.